As long as you've got the green light, you've got the green light. Technical difficulties already.
See, you said that. You said there had been no technical difficulties, but I just got here, so I have no idea what I just did. All right, green light. Green light, I almost broke it. Doing good so far. Doing good. I'm sitting in the back, and you, of course, you know it's a Bible conference. You know there's going to be some great preaching. With great preaching, there's great preachers. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of things going on. And that didn't hit me as to just how many people and how many great preachers I'd be standing in front of until I saw y'all come in. So I'm sitting there back there next to my father-in-law, one of the most easily intimidating men I've ever met, watching everybody come in, and all of a sudden perspective kicks in. This will be interesting. Really appreciate being able to spend time with the Plamondans. It is always, always a joy and a blessing to be able to spend time with godly families. There's so much contrary in this world. It's good to spend time with a family like that. Loving, make you feel right at home. Actually gave us one of the beds there in the house this time. Last time they kept us out in the trailer because I'm going to guess they heard about my snoring habits. So that's where we are there. Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you will. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Little information about me, if you've never met me, which is probably a good thing. I'm Matt Rowland, as I was introduced. My wife Danielle's back there. Our son Xander probably has his grandmother tied up somewhere and throwing a hissy fit. we're learning that he does not like travel. It's his first time out. He doesn't like it. So he'll be out there. And then our newest one is still, as my wife calls it, in the oven. So she's pregnant. If you see her in the food line, that's what's going on there. And that's what's happening. My job, what I do as a profession, I do property management. I'm a maintenance guy. I'm the landlord. You don't pay your rent, you get to talk to me. You break something, you get to talk to me. And then I get to have one of my guys go fix it. So it's an interesting job, but you meet a lot of different people. We're right there on the Eastern Michigan campus. So you get all types. You get those with small families living there, and you get college students. Then you get college professors from all over the world come and spend time there. So you never know who you're going to meet, which is a very exciting aspect of that job. But something that I'm seeing more lately and more recently is, well, it's kind of sad. I love the English language. Yeah, a lot of our words don't make sense the way they're pronounced. We could go all day on grammar rules that don't seem to make a lot of sense, but I love the English language. I think it's beautiful. It's mine. I learned it when I was a kid. I want to stick with it. It's awesome. But I'm watching it fall apart. I really am. And it's not just falling apart. It is being devastated just as badly as the morals of our country. It's just terrible. Sometimes you have to ask people to repeat things two or three times because Ebonics has just infiltrated not just our common culture, but it's infiltrated the school system as well. I mean, these kids are learning at this college this from some of the teachers. I met a teacher that spoke in Ebonics, and I had to ask him to repeat himself when he explained to me that he was a professor there. And, you know, I'm used to, and I'm sure you are too, I'm used to struggling on the phone with tech support because someone is speaking English with an accent. That is understandable. That's great. Thank you for knowing two languages because I only know one. But when it comes down to the fact where I learned English, you learned English, what are you doing with the language? All right, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. Something very familiar to you, of course. As a young preacher, I try to stick with the simpler stuff. Leave the more complicated things to the more seasoned. And by seasoned, I mean old. verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time, as always, that you remove this stuttering, uncertain young man, and you speak your word right now. Because, Father, that's what we're here for. We're here, yes, it's a beautiful place, and we're among good friends and family, but Lord, we're here for you right now. So Lord, please speak and clear our hearts so that we may well listen. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. When we think about our manner of communication, we understand that some people pick up habits. Maybe you have a stutter. Maybe it's a high-pitched voice. Maybe it's a certain word that we use a little bit too much. But we all have a certain amount of flair or character that we throw into the things that we say. And it's fun. We can poke fun at each other for it. And then we can remember each other by the things that we know someone's going to say. But when we look at this, take your Bibles again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1:12. There's a thought that when I think about Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation that comes to mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. There is something different about a child of God. Amen? There's something different about them. They don't speak the way others speak. Now, if you are a child of God who keeps to proper conversational practices, people know who you are. And I'm sure you've had your stories where somebody has asked you, why don't you swear? Why don't you get mad? Why don't you speak in this certain way? Why don't you listen to these jokes? And that's our opportunity to give the gospel and our answer. You say, well, here's the thing. I don't need those words. I speak a different way because I've been changed on the inside. And it's not bragging, it's advertising. Please come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please take what it is that he has for you. Be changed thoroughly altogether. It is so sad, as I mentioned before, just how disgusting the things that people say are. Things that wouldn't be proper conversation, things people wouldn't mention outside of a tavern or a saloon, are now common practice. Things that we find on the news, things that we can hear on talk radio, words that just before were never all right. But now it's acceptable. Now you're weird if it's not right. And after a while, hearing the way people talk and having them put me down for the way I speak, I start to feel like that one fat kid on the playground. I've got some experience with that. I don't quite fit in anymore. And of course, as Christians, we know that that's okay. But what should be our manner of conversation? Back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I love the fact that God never tries to prove his existence.
Amen.
It's just naturally assumed. Mm-hmm. And I love how the Word of God says it the same way too, that there is no discussion of God or trying to prove his existence. Just in the beginning, God. And we've lost so much of that in this society to where it's no longer just assumed that there is a God. It is far more popular to assume that he does not exist. And oh, how this world thrives on that popularity. But listen to what the Lord says. He goes, I'm what? I'm the Alpha and Omega. Now, for those of you Bible studiers out there, you understand what that is. That is the first letter and last letter of the Greek alphabet, am I correct? The first and the last. And we understand this, that he's saying there that he's all-encompassing. But I like to look at that from a very alphabetical kind of way. He's the Word, is he not? Is that not what we understand? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. So then our conversation, being filled with words, must be filled with the Word.
Amen.
That must be what we're looking at. Point number one this morning. Point number one, which is? As the Lord defines himself, he says, which is? Giving the idea of the present tense, currently happening, and going on from here. Now, I don't know about you, I'm sure it's probably true, but I'm tired of those few with the media and those few with the popularity telling me that Jesus Christ is a myth. Somebody says that to me, they've proven themselves altogether unintelligent from where I'm standing. They can call me a fool, they can call us all the different kinds of non-intelligent names they want. But a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And even so, I doubt altogether they believe that there is no God in heaven. I think it's fear.
That's right.
It's fear of taking away the fun. It's fear of being taking away the little things they can play in. We look at the manner of the conversation of the world today, and it's about enough to break your heart. One of my jobs is to evict people once they've gotten past the limit. And I'll tell you this, it's never a good story. I've never had one where I walked away not needing immediately to talk to God about it. It's sad. Friday, before I left work, I had this idea that I would leave early, get to the Plamondon's house early. I think it was almost 12:30 before I got there. I felt so embarrassed, so embarrassed. Well, one of my jobs was to knock on doors and ask people where rent was. Okay. And I'll knock on doors and they'll open those doors up, and guess what I see on the inside? Big screen televisions. And kids planted firmly in front of them. I hear rap music. And yes, there are drugs. It's not a hot thing that people hide anymore. They're out there. And they're so proud of it that it's supposed to be so socially acceptable. I can't fathom that. Why that's socially acceptable now. Where you could go spend tens of thousands of dollars on a college education just to flush it down the drain with drugs and alcohol. That, to me, that doesn't strike wise, but that's just us, I guess, us silly Christians. I knock on those doors, we evict people, we throw them out into the street, and we find their paraphernalia, and we find the things that they're into, and it's hard not to want to be sick on the spot. This world, we know, is going downhill fast. And the speed of which I see on a regular basis. What the future holds. But we serve a God that is the which is.
Amen.
They can tell their stories. They can say this is right. They can say because the popularity says this is okay, that the populace likes this, that it's okay. But they are still dead wrong in the sight of God. The awkward situations that we turn on the news and we hear about homosexual marriage and the debauchery of things that go on. I could tell stories. Oh, I could tell stories. The sad things I've seen. And this is good. This is all right. God doesn't think so. And just because it's okay on the 6 o'clock news, just because a senator says it's okay, does not mean it's all right here on earth. They've got it wrong in their opinion it's okay. In their sad beliefs it's okay. But it doesn't change the rule. It doesn't change it. I've seen people flush their lives away. And alcohol, drink, drugs, all sorts of that. What they call fun. I've seen them destroy their lives. I've seen people go from being healthy to being wasted away. Just a matter of months. Just to then pick up all their belongings and put it out in the street. That is what they think is right. Oh, they're okay with the process, but the ending, that's not typical, right? No. That's the way the devil leaves all of his servants.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of every story. That's the way it's going to end. If not by a bullet or a car wreck, that's the way it ends. I serve a God who's relevant. I serve a God who is current to the times. But the times have lost their relevance. They're off kilter. What is popular today has no idea what's right, has no idea what's wise. People speak of the King James Bible, they're saying that people have a hard time understanding. You know what the real problem is with the King James Bible? We've stopped speaking English. That's the problem. Because I've heard preachers do this. They'll take a word in the Bible, they'll go back to the Greek or the Hebrew just to have to re-explain to us. It's not a problem with the original text. It's not a problem with the Greek or the Hebrew. We've gone slanted. We have. We've allowed the English language to fall apart. And that is where we see society. The question is Jesus Christ still relevant to the saved? Now here's the thing, he never goes anywhere. The standards of God, they never move, they never shrink. What do we live out on a daily basis? You know what I found? I found that when you have a light, it doesn't matter how dark the room is, the light still does its job, right? And that's very simple stuff. If I've got a light, it stays the light. No matter how dark it is, it doesn't change the lights. Is that not how we should be? That no matter what is going on, we are still, in our manner of conversation, all about the Word. Not just words. Not just trying to look impressive. All right, I've given up trying to look impressive. I will let myself down on that every time. I think I demonstrated that just coming up here. There's nothing impressive about this young man. Nothing good in and of itself. There's nothing good here. Oh, but in the Word we have truth. In Jesus Christ we have the meaning of life. We have everything that people throw millions of dollars and their health. They throw it all away for what we have. They just refuse to have it Jesus Christ's way. See, they have a problem with the Word. And that means they should have a problem with us. Because we in our manner of communication should be about the Word. Ever meet somebody who's just a little too full of themselves? They're just a little too excited about the things that they could do? Stop looking at me. No. Just a little too excited about themselves. What are they promoting in almost every breath? Me. I. Look how amazing. Look how fantastic. But you know what? We're not fantastic. Compared to God, we're barely worth mentioning. So what is it that we live on a daily basis? What is our manner of communication today? That in a world that seems to be going dark, are we still the lights? Are we as bright as we should be? I mean, are we the right kind of lights? Some people are satisfied with just being a little warning light on a dashboard. Hey, hey. Think about those lights on your dashboard. I'd rather be the headlights. If I'm going to be a light, I want to be a headlight. I want to let you know when there's a deer coming. But to just be that faint glow for the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think that's what he's asking for. He requires more from us. Not only does he expect it, but he deserves more from us. Amen. I mean, we ought to be walking trumpets for the Lord Jesus Christ, sounding the Word wherever we go, never losing his effect on every aspect of our lives. We've heard that. We've heard this phrase so often where there are doors in our hearts we don't allow the Lord to go into. As his children, we're not afforded that. We're not afforded that right. We're not. I've heard of parents that allow their kids to put locks on their bedroom doors for privacy. I'm like, okay, how old is your child? Oh, he's 7. What privacy does a 7-year-old need? I mean, I don't know how you were when you were 7, but I would probably end up locking myself in there with something dangerous. You know, like I'd be in there with a wood-burning kid having no right to privacy. There were no locked doors in my house. There was no, hold on, Mom, give me a minute. My parents came in. So what relationship do we have with the Lord in that case? Are we trying to be too big for our britches? Lord, now in every aspect, but right here. Now, we wouldn't say that in our hearts and minds, would we? We would never say that. It would just happen. And when asked, we would know that it's wrong, right? We would even say, well, no, it's wrong to keep an aspect of my life away from God. We would say that. But it happens. For our whole manner of conversation to be about Jesus Christ, we need to allow every door to be open. Now, he's going to get in there when he wants to get in there. But it's so much easier when we give it. So much easier when we give that over to him. Point number two, which was. When we look back at the history book that is the Old Testament, when we look back at all of God's promises that have been fulfilled from the beginning to right now, it's humbling. You know what's so humbling? His level of dedication towards us. We don't deserve that. We look alone at the children of Israel. For Sunday school, my Sunday school class, I teach the adult class, we're going through the Bible book by book. And right now we're about to start the book of Joel. And you know what? At this point, I am so tired of hearing about the children of Israel. I would be so frustrated. Just as somebody reading through, I get so tired by the book of Psalm. I get so tired of the children of Israel. Why are you messing up with God all the time? Why are you doing this all the time? But if someone were to pen our lives from salvation onward, I dare say I would probably make them look good. And the times God has provided, and the times that God has been there, and the time that God has been right, and I've turned around and gone the other way. He's dedicated to us.
Right.
And here's the thing. When we speak, and we want to speak properly, it takes practice. It takes work. It takes dedication to be a proper speaker today. It does. What manner of dedication are we putting towards the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we behave, in the way that we speak? In making our lives modeled after His, how dedicated are we? I'm reminded of the time when the Lord was arrested and Peter took his sword and remove the ear of one of the servants, of the men that came to arrest him. Of all people, he reached down and restored that ear. I got angry at somebody cutting me off on the way here. I was ready to exact vengeance on this guy. I look over, I see a cell phone and taillights just whipping in front of me. My wife knows it's an adventure when I'm driving and somebody pulls something like that. I start to wonder what Cracker Jack box he got the license out of. I start to wonder if this were bumper cars, if I could put them into the wall from this vantage point, you know. Think about those thoughts. Jesus Christ's immediate response was to bend down and restore his ear. Now, the Lord was no fool. He knew what was happening next. He knew what those men were there for. An immediate forgiveness. What was easy for him would take dedication for us. We have to remember. We have to remember his behavior. Remember what he did. Remember what he was about. And model our lives close after it. And it's not just the far history of mankind that we can remember. What about your history? Before we are so quick to judge others for their sin and so quick to judge others for their lack of ability to keep the godly conversation, how often have we failed God? Understand this, that it is always a matter of being better yourself, not to keep a list of people you're better than. Because those lists are never right. Those lists are never right. What has God done for you that you can remember every day that can keep you dedicated? Many times the children of Israel would set up monuments to remember what God had done in that place. Where are the monuments in our lives that keep the conversation? Where are the monuments that remind you what your conversation should be? God knows every aspect of you. What is it Psalm 139 says? Fearfully and wonderfully made, right? He formed you. So why is it that, and I know it's our sin nature, but we're in that time when after we're created, we immediately start going wrong. We immediately start making it about ourselves. We are created for a purpose, you and I. Created for a purpose. To shine a light, to be an ambassador, to be a representative of the Word. Point number three. Any guesses? I'll tell you. Which is to come? Which is to come? Anybody here on Facebook? Anybody on Facebook? Love Facebook. It's interesting. I get on it, read a couple things, immediately just have to take myself off of it. You know, you get on there and you hear the silliest of things. I don't know why we always have to take pictures of coffee cups and put them up on there. I mean, I do it, but I don't know why we do it. I don't know why we find that interesting. I don't know why we find that a major part of our day. There are people here right now going, that's why I'm not on it, brother. That's why I don't mess with that stuff. Amen. But I was... Those people with sense in the room, of course. Oh, man, but I get on that thing, and it's so disappointing. Some of the stuff that you'll read news from around the world. I hate signing on and hearing news of a brother and sister in Christ, which, if you are on that thing, those should be the people and the only people, really, that you know on there. I get on the thing, I hear terrible news from across the world. Children being beheaded in the hundreds. Just the catastrophe going on in this world. And we know this, that it's only a glimpse. I mean, we are focusing on the book of Revelation here for this conference. There's some terrible things coming. The world's going to get darker. As dark as it is now, it is not a comfort to me that it's going to get only darker. Somebody asked me one time, they say, well, why is it that God is going to go through such extraordinarily awful measures to bring the children of Israel back? And that's not the right question, folks. Why does God have to go so far to bring them back? Because let's look at this world. Let's face it. That's about what it's going to take. It's about what it's going to take. We are so dead set as the world as a whole in our sinful fleshly nature. We are so dead set on getting exactly what we want, getting it exactly our way. As long as we can laugh our way through it, it's okay. But we're different. We need to be different. Now, we can say all we want, but at the end of the day, that is the nature we fight. To shun the things of God and to lie in the mud. Aren't you glad God helps with that endeavor? Aren't you glad you're not alone? Because I don't think I'd have the strength. When I think back to how I was when I was lost, I was a little boy. Most of the worst sins happened after. I didn't really know how to get into too much trouble until after I was saved. Didn't really make my mom mad until afterwards. It's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. As thoughts and opinions try to permeate the minds of Baptists, it's going to get harder. This world's going to get worse. And it's going to be worse and worse. But don't forget the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of that too. Amen. That there is never a time where he said, at this point, you're on your own. At this point, my eyes will turn away and you fight it on your own. No, no, no. And just the same as he is not going to abandon us, we must not abandon him in the future in our conversation, in our actions, in our personalities, and in the things that we say. It can be so uncomfortable to someone who's out of practice in talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be uncomfortable talking about him. That's why we've got to stay sharp in our practice of it. I'm sure you have the same thing that I have. I have family members that do not want to hear about Jesus Christ. Family members who will not return my phone calls because they know what I want to talk about. Who have said and thought that I would never hear it, that Matt would be great to have at this party, but all he wants to do is talk about Jesus Christ when I got him alone. sure you know exactly what it is I'm talking about. People that avoid you. I'll have people, we'll have those conversations in the break room. Those break room conversations and religion will come up. At least it used to. They've stopped doing that. They've learned. They're getting quick, too. They think I won't chase them, but I will. I've been on the treadmill. I will chase you down. Somebody asked me once, they weren't even talking to me, they were talking to amongst themselves, and somebody asked about what is this being saved thing. And you've never seen someone my size get into a room so quickly. I mean, the door was practically, it was shut, but it didn't matter too much. Boom, hey, how's it going? Those are uncomfortable times for certain people that get angry about it. We probably have relatives here. Many of you have relatives that don't want to hear about it. Bothers them. I had my grandma come. My grandma come preach. Now, those of you preachers, when your grandma comes to preach, that's a special time. And my grandma came up and she gave me the biggest hug after she came in to hear me preach. And she whispered in my ear, "I don't agree with most of the things you said." Not what I expected. Not what I saw coming. I mean, I knew it was probably lousy, but I didn't know that that's what she would say. And she's never come back since. Why? Because the truth offends. Live your life exuding the truth anyway.
Amen.
Is what the Bible commands. Because even though it gets harder, that must mean you must also get tougher. You must also become better at what it is that we must do in our manner of conversation. When we think about it, Jesus Christ isn't just the word. He ought to be the word that we're talking about. The words that we use. Let him all encompass our language, such as the Alpha and Omega encompasses the Greek language. It's in every letter. It's in every aspect. It builds it. It makes it. It shapes it. It molds it. Does it mold you? You know what's fun? Watching my son Xander, watching him at this point, and of course, you know, the Hugans at our church, they have a daughter, Abby, and she's a little older than Xander is, about 9 months. And I can be like, okay, now this is happening here, so watch out for it here. And okay, now she's running here, so I've got to watch. And okay, there, you know, and you watch them grow. You know, okay, now at this point, they're doing this, and at this point, and it's so fun to watch. It's so fun to watch when they no longer need daddy to feed them. They no longer need daddy at all because they have Nana. You know, they no longer need this because they have that. They're growing. He's growing up, and it's so exciting. We need to be growing as well. Because to sit still is stagnation. There are many aspects about a child that we would love to have stick around forever. The cuddliness, the needing a hug. I've seen it. They grow up. They don't want to hug anymore. They get 12, 13, 14. They start to know more than mom and dad. And yeah, they'll give a hug. They'll give a kiss. But I've seen it happens in families where the kids just fall away from mom and dad. And I've also seen it happen where as the kids grow up, they get closer to mom and dad, but in different ways, in more mature ways. And it's a beautiful thing. In our manner of growth, we need to be growing towards the Lord more and more. And exuding more of Him in everything that we do. If we fail in that, we fail our Father. My dad is a heavy drinker. His response to me about the gospel is, "Well, I've done too much to ever be saved." Like, well, Dad, that's actually the most wrong thing you could say about the Lord Jesus Christ, is He came for people like you. He doesn't read His Bible. He doesn't hold any of the qualities really that a godly man should. But it would break my heart to fail Him. To hear that I've disappointed Him, it would still hurt me because He's my Father. He could still ask me to come over and take out the trash, and I'd probably do it. I'd go over there just to do it, just to make Him proud of me. God is everything we need. He is more than we have ever known that we've ever wanted. In every in every aspect of character, in every demeanor, he is everything we ought to model ourselves after. Do we want to fail him? Of course not. That's a silly question. This is a Bible conference, brother. We're here because we want to please the Lord. Alpha and Omega, all-encompassing. I mean, think about it. Without letters, there's no words. No words, there's no conversation. Granted, that would mean us with less telemarketers, but gotta have those words. What are we? Do we live our life showing that word in everything? I mean, that's what we see here in the book of Revelation. It's bringing back to Jesus Christ. My recommendation is that we stay there. We stay there. We stay strong throughout. We just recently in our church, there was a bunch of kids, and it wasn't their mom, but it was their sister and cousin that would bring a bunch of kids, and she'd pack them into their car, and she'd bring them to church, and sometimes her car wouldn't work, somebody would have to go get her, and she's been coming for the past few years, but she never made a profession of faith, never really, you know, the sister, she never really... She called one of our church members to say that the children were taken from their home under the saddest of circumstances. And many of us, well, all of us, were brokenhearted about it. Of course, you want what's best for kids. If they need to be safe, take them out. Of course, I'm not for the government making that decision so much, but it was the right circumstances. Those kids didn't need to be in the home. But what broke my heart is that what they needed the most, they now have less of. They needed Lord Jesus Christ in their life. That influence. Now, I'm not saying that a Sunday school class is going to save them. I'm not. I'm not just saying that attending Sunday school will make you a good kid. I've seen a lot of kids show up to Sunday school class and it didn't make much of a difference. It's Jesus Christ that makes the difference.
Amen.
It is. The people in your life, if they were removed from it suddenly, would you have been enough of the influence of Jesus Christ for it to have mattered? We understand this, that the Lord saves whom he saves. We make no real difference in that, but it is ours to plant the seed, right? Are we doing it? Are we a constant reminder? When I was young, there was a gentleman in our church who came to visit us long before we came to the church, came to visit our home. His name was Brother Gill. He became a hero in my life. He taught a Sunday school class of one who barely paid attention, who he constantly had to bring back to attention. Sometimes I think he was tempted to reach across the table and I deserve it too. I would have. You should have seen me. I would have deserved it. Came to my house and he taught me how to pray. He taught me how to read the Bible. He gave me my first Bible. It was one of those really nice ones with the super tiny print. Had to use a magnifying glass at the age of 10 to read the Bible. But you know why I love that Bible? For its tiny print and its awkward lettering. Because Brother Gill loved Jesus Christ. And I wanted to know him too. Wonder why I prayed at night? Because I wanted to know that Jesus Christ. What influence are we having on the people around us? Here's really what I'm trying to get. I'm skirting around it, and I'm just gonna jump on it. I know I'm trying to be playing. If we are as dedicated as we should be, there will never be a time when we see an overwhelming amount of worldliness. Somebody expressing an overly amount of worldliness, and we not try to interject the gospel. That time should never come our way. What I'm literally saying is this, is that all manner of conversation, it shouldn't just be there politely, it should be there boldly. I'm a coffee drinker. Any coffee drinkers in this crowd? I'm a coffee drinker. And here's what I mean by coffee drinker. I mean you make that coffee strong. All right, the very smell of it should wake people up from next door. Kind of strong. I had a college professor. Here's how he would have it. His name was Dr. Smith. Here's how he had me make it. It looked like Colonel Sanders. I love this guy. And he said, Matt, I want you to make the coffee the night before. I go, the night before? He goes, the night before. I go, okay. He goes, then in the morning, about 20 minutes before I get there, I want you to take that coffee. I want you to pour it into the water reservoir, and I want you to reload the filter and make more coffee. I go, what? And this was so strong. There was no washing the little glass. The coffee came, and it was strong. What is your manner of conversation? Is it light? Is it one of those, you know, little white foam creamy cappuccinos with 4 pounds of sugar, a little stirry straw, your name written with a cute little heart on the side of the cup? If that's you, Tim Kavanaugh, if that's you, I mean, I'm sure that's nice. I'm sure people like that. I used this expression in Sunday school class and I got some weird looks, so I'm going to use it again in front of a bunch of people I respect. You know, when you're talking with friends and family and you say something, they give you a weird look that's normally enough to shut you down. Not me. Here's what the Lord's asking for out of you. The Lord's talking about a steak dinner. We're serving up that liverwurst stuff. That bologna with the green stuff floating in it, that's what we're serving up sometimes. When we hear someone express a worldly attitude or worldly behavior, and we go, that's what we're doing. That person needs Jesus Christ. The word is relevant, right? The word is right, right? If Jesus Christ is working for you, we need to express that in everything and everywhere. Be strong. Be strong. And I'm literally talking about a life that is as strong as that cup of coffee I was talking about. Let's get a cup of coffee with a couple extra shots of espresso in there. Be strong. Be vital. Be filled with life in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it just seems like a waste of time. For all he's done, let's return it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dismiss from this, Lord, I pray that this made sense. Father, your word is so great, so powerful. Your Son is so great and so powerful. Our every conversation, our every attitude, our very expression, the way we perform and act, ought not just to be made up of you and your Son. But you and your Son ought to be in every fiber of it. Every fiber of our being, we ought to be molded after you. So, Father, I pray you work that work in us. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Please stand with me.